You ask. Good morning, everybody. So, we're going to be starting a sermon series on the book of Colossians. We're going to spend 6 weeks in Colossians, and then we're going to tack on a seventh week on the book of Philemon after that, and I'll explain that in a minute why we're doing that. For today, we're going to do two things. We're going to look at the first 20 or so verses in the book of Colossians. So if you have a Bible with you, it would probably be handy to be in that neighborhood. And the second thing we're going to do, it's actually the first thing. We're going to do the second thing first, and then we're going to do the looking at the 20 verses. We're going to do a little bit of an overview of the book of Colossians. What kind of letter is it? Now, there we are. So I've even prepared PowerPoint for you. So the book of Colossians, what kind of letter is it? Ben Franklin said something that, if I turn this on, you'll be able to see. There we go. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You've heard that before? Yes, good. Now, as it turns out, I looked into this. Franklin was actually talking about fire prevention when he said that. Did you know that? He was talking about taking a little more care with burning coals and things like that, so that you don't end up having to put out a house fire. Pretty good advice, I think. And I think it's interesting that he chose to use a medical metaphor. Because, of course, nowadays in modern medicine, this is a really important concept. This is something that doctors and healthcare practitioners put a lot of thought and energy into, preventive medicine. Things like sanitation, eating right, exercise, vaccinations, tests and screens and all kinds of things can prevent illness and disease before they happen or minimize their effects. Modern medical practice is full of these preventive techniques. Preventive healthcare, preventive medicine, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Now, even today in 2017, lots of deaths happen from preventable diseases. Not all diseases are preventable, of course. So if you're sick, that doesn't necessarily mean it's your fault. But let me ask you, if you had the choice between getting treated for a disease that you have or not getting the disease in the first place, you'd probably prefer the latter, wouldn't you? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that, I think, is what kind of letter Colossians is. Paul would agree that prevention is better than cure. But in this case, the disease to prevent is heresy. Was that already up there? Okay, so I just skipped by it. Heresy. Some of us don't like to use the word heresy. And some of us like to use it way too much. Some Christians call absolutely anything that they disagree with heresy. Oh, you're a Calvinist. Heretic. You believe in infant baptism. Heretic. But probably more of us are actually too hesitant to call something heresy when it really, really is. You think you're saved because you're a good person? I'm sorry, that really is heresy. You think all religions lead to the same God and salvation? Well, that's actually heresy. We should not be afraid to tell the truth. But to be a heresy, something has to be much worse than just wrong or mistaken. It certainly has to be a lot worse than just disagreeing with you. To be a heresy, something has to contradict the gospel itself. A heresy is a belief that shows that a person has not received the true gospel message about Jesus. That message, of course, is that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He was crucified for our sins and raised to life again, and a time is coming when he will return to earth to defeat his enemies and rescue his people. So if something does not contradict that gospel message, it might be wrong, but it's not heresy. If something does contradict that message, then it is heresy, plain and simple. So So we shouldn't be afraid to use the word heresy, but we should use it carefully and correctly. Now, coming back to Colossians. As I understand it, Paul's letter to the Colossians is preventive healthcare for the disease of heresy. What do we know about the town of Colossae and the Colossian church? Colossae was a relatively small town in Paul's day, although it had previously been a very large city. Even though it was fairly small, it was cosmopolitan. There were people from all kinds of different cultural backgrounds in this city. There was a significant Jewish population there as well. It is most likely that Paul had never been to Colossae himself. He seems to indicate that in his letter. However, while he was evangelizing in Ephesus for 2 years during his third missionary journey, the book of Acts tells us that the whole province of Asia, what we now call Asia Minor, received the gospel or heard the gospel. So probably people that heard the gospel from Paul then went and took it to other towns, like Colossae and Hierapolis and Laodicea, which are very close to Colossae. In fact, it is quite likely that the person who did take the gospel to Colossae was Paul's friend Epaphras, who's mentioned in Colossians. Paul probably wrote Colossians at the same time as Philemon and sent them both to Colossae at the same time. Philemon actually lived in Colossae, and that is why we're going to be looking at Colossae for one Sunday at the end of the 6 weeks on... Sorry, we'll be looking at Philemon for one Sunday at the end of the 6 weeks on Colossians. So, as I've said, Colossians is like preventive medicine for the disease of heresy. From what I can tell, most scholars actually disagree with me on that point. They tend, it seems to me, to believe, I haven't, you know, read everything that anyone's ever written on Colossians, but from the couple that I've looked at that I really trust their judgment most of the time, they seem to see Colossians as treatment, not prevention. They believe that there was an active heresy in the Colossian church. In fact, they believe it was a single active heresy in the church, which included all the different kinds of errors that Paul talks about in Colossians. So most scholars think the church was already deadly sick, and the letter Colossians is the cure. Now, I think they're wrong, and I'll briefly explain to you why that is. First, Paul does not write Colossians with the same kind of punch and urgency and directness that he writes a letter like, say, Galatians. In the Galatian churches, there was an active heresy. It was a Judaizing heresy. It was a legalism that said that to be saved, you must obey the law of Moses. Now, that's a real heresy, because it contradicts the gospel. But notice how direct Paul is in Galatians when there's a real heresy. He has barely said hello to the Galatians before he gets right to the point. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So he gets right to the point, and he doesn't pull any punches. He goes on. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Now that is very, very strong language. And if you've read the rest of Galatians, you know that a lot of it is similar to that. Paul does not pull any punches. He's very direct. When Christians are falling into a gospel-denying heresy, Paul tends to have a very urgent and strong tone. Colossians is very, very different. Paul greets the church. He explains how he prays for them. He praises them for their love and their faith. And he does that for more than 30 verses before he even begins to hint at trying to correct errors in the church. So I very much doubt that Colossians is meant to be a treatment for a major heresy that is active in the church at the time. I think that when it does address various errors or potential errors, it doesn't have that kind of urgency that Galatians does. Instead, Colossians is meant to keep the Colossian church healthy and faithful to the gospel so that it does not fall sick in the first place. What would you prefer? To have treatment for a deadly illness or not to get sick in the first place? Colossians is preventive medicine. Also, I think that most scholars go wrong when they believe that Colossians is warning against a single error or heresy. They look at all the different types of errors that Paul discusses in the book of Colossians, and they try to imagine a single heresy that has all those features. So, just like the flu has a variety of symptoms, so the Colossian heresy, according to these scholars, has a whole bunch of symptoms. These are all things that Paul seems to correct or warn against in Colossians. Things like angel worship, legalism, paganism, wrong ideas about who Jesus is, and so on. So a lot of scholars have tried to come up with a sort of Frankenstein's heresy that has all of these parts sewn together. Or coming back to our main metaphor, a single Colossian heresy, a disease that has all of these symptoms. Let me just read a couple of really brief quotes from scholars who have this type of view. So one says, "The Colossian error was a strange mixture of Jewish doctrines, Christian ideas, and heathen speculation." Just throw it all in the salad bowl and mix it up, and that's the Colossian heresy. Similarly, another one says, "The Colossian heresy was an eclectic blend of Jewish legalism, Greek philosophic speculation, and Oriental mysticism combined together with a Christian flavor or element." For me, considering how varied these symptoms are, I think a simpler explanation is that Paul has lots of different errors in mind. Paul knows the kinds of errors that churches fall into. He knows from the Galatian churches. He knows from Corinth. He knows from Thessalonica. He knows the sorts of heresies and false gospels that tempt the people of God. And so he writes Colossians as preventive health care against them all. Eating right and exercising can prevent a whole lot of diseases. The book of Colossians can prevent a lot of heresies. So I don't think there's a single Colossian heresy, and I don't think Colossians is a cure. I think it's preventive. In fact, it seems to me, from the letter itself, that Paul thinks the Colossian church is pretty healthy at present. Look at the types of things that he says. He repeatedly commends the Colossians for their faith, their love, their discipline, even the firmness of their faith. That sounds like a healthy church to me. He says in chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you." Now, at this point in Galatians, Paul would already be telling them, "I can't believe you're turning away from the gospel." Not a whiff of that kind of thing here. "In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." So Paul thanks God for this healthy Colossian church. When he prays, he thanks God for their love, their faith, and the fruitfulness of the one true gospel among them. Paul wants to keep this healthy church healthy, so that when illness does come, when they do feel pressure to compromise the gospel, when they are tempted by a heresy or an error, they will stay healthy. Paul wants the Colossian church to stay healthy. And then he continues in verse 9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." The health benefits of staying faithful to the gospel include things like knowledge of God's will, wisdom and understanding given by the Spirit, living a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, strength, power, endurance, patience, joyful gratitude, redemption, and forgiveness of sins. That's true for us as much as it is for the Colossians. That sounds like a church I want to be in, and a church I want to stay in. These are the health benefits of staying faithful to the gospel. There are all kinds of things that you can do to stay healthy in a medical sense. You can get more sleep, you can stop smoking, you can eat right, you can exercise. There's all this stuff that you can do, whatever. There's one thing. There's really just one thing to stay healthy spiritually. It's to consider Christ. The best way to stay clear of heresy is to keep the gospel truth about the Lord Jesus Christ clear and central in everything that you think, feel, and do. Don't go dancing after this exciting idea or prancing after that novel heresy over there. Stay healthy. Stay focused on Christ. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. The gospel every day keeps heresy and error away. In the remainder of this series on Colossians, we're going to see how the gospel of Jesus Christ keeps us from straying into the various errors that Paul warns against. We may not live in first century Colossae, but we face some of the same pressures. The paganism of our neighbors around us, the legalism or cheap grace views that have developed in our church. Not ours personally, sorry, in the church generally. But we face those types of pressures. The thing that will keep us from straying into these various errors, the same kinds that Paul warns against in Colossians, is to keep faithful to the gospel. So we're going to see that in this series. We're going to see also how the gospel of Jesus Christ changes our lives so that we please God. And all of our ways and all of our relationships honor him. For Paul, the gospel is better than a cure-all that treats all diseases. As great as that would be, the gospel is even better. Staying faithful to it prevents all heresies. If you grow firmer in your faith and deeper in your knowledge of the one true gospel, you won't be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. You won't be taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. You won't be dead in your sins. You won't think that you can earn your own salvation by good works and obedience. You won't delight in false humility. You won't get caught up in worship of angels. You won't be puffed up with the idle notions of an unspiritual mind. And you won't belong to the world and submit to its rules. Instead, if you grow firmer in your faith and deeper in your knowledge of the one true gospel, you will set your hearts and minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You will put to death immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, and idolatry. You will rid yourselves of anger, rage, malice, slander, and hurtful language. You'll be God's people, holy and dearly loved, clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You'll forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love. In a church that stays faithful to the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, wives and husbands will honor and respect each other. Parents and children will love each other. You will devote yourselves to prayer. You'll be grateful to God, and you will witness to Him in the world around us. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That is a healthy church. And that's how you stay healthy. The only way to avoid errors and speculations and heresies, the inventions of people's overactive imaginations, false gospels and false religions, or a life mired in sin and selfishness, the only way to avoid death, sin, and error is to consider Christ and to keep growing in Him. I think Colossians is not only preventive medicine, though. I think it's also a diagnostic tool. As you read Colossians, check yourself as you go. Do I have a little bit of that symptom? And come back to Christ. If someone comes to you with some fancy idea that they got from a dream or a vision, come back to Christ. If someone knocks on your door with pamphlets and a false gospel, come back to Christ. If the world thinks this sin is okay, and that sin really is just fine, come back to Christ. If the world tells you that you are good enough for God just the way you are, come back to Christ. And if the devil tries to tell you that you're so bad, God could never love you, come back to Christ. The only way to stay healthy is to consider Christ and keep growing in Him. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross.